This week is Parshas Paro. The Pashta says that Kriyas Parshas Paro is a Takonas Chachamim that everyone should prepare for Korban Pesach. You have to be Tohor. So other Tumah is you go to the Mikveh 1, 2, 3 and a Tomei Meis has to, going to take him at least a week to become Tohor. Has to have Azor Shli Shli Shli. So it's a Hachraza before Pesach. This man has said there's no Korban Pesach. We don't have any paradigma about it. So what are we reading, Parshas Paro? So it's like Nesham Lefoyim Svaseinu. We talk about the fact that we used to have a Beis Hamikdash, we used to bring Karbonis. Mala Ani Aleim Kilu Hikrivim. So we talk about the fact that we would have become Tohar from the Tumas Meis in order to participate in the Korban Pesach. So it's also a Pchina of Nesham Lefoyim Svaseinu. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba quotes Yeshomim. There is an opinion that Parshas Paro is derais. So it doesn't make any sense. So the Vilna Gaon writes in the Bi'ur Agra must be a Torah Sofer. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, but how can it be a Torah Sofer if it appears in so many different Rishonim who are not copying from each other? It's not that it's the same Rishon every edition has it. A variety of Rishonim have this. So that's why the Achrayim tried to knock sense into this. How can Parshas Paro be derais? So the Torah Tmima, in his autobiography, Makor Baruch, quotes the following suggestion, that the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos writes, in the list of the Ramban, the Minyan HaEssen, the Minyan HaLavan, the Ramban knocks out a whole bunch of mitzvahs, which he gives for various reasons should not be included. So he has to replace them with other mitzvahs in order to get 248 mitzvahs essay. 365 mitzvahs, so it says to have some total of 613. So he writes, he's not too sure about a certain mitzvah. Zohar es asher tzavta as Hashem alakecha b'midbor. We should remember that we angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we were traveling in the midbor by worshipping the eagle. Ramban is not sure whether that was Zohar Asher only to the door of midbor. They should remember Chazdei Hashem, that even though they angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't punish us. Or maybe it's a din l'doiris, that throughout all the future generations, we should have a Parsha Zohar, just like Parsha Zohar Amalek is once a year every year. Maybe we should have Parsha Zechiras Chet HaEgel once a year every year. Magen Avraham didn't have a Sefer Mitzvah, so he quotes this idea of the Ramban. He quotes it from a Yalkut Shemoni. Yalkut Shemoni says like that. The Ramban didn't have a Yalkut Shemoni. Magen Avraham didn't have a Ramban. So the Yalkut Shemoni says like that. There's a mitzvah of Zechiras Chet HaEgel, the Chiras Amalek.
Isn't that one of the
Sheis HaFronos?
Right.
The Chiras Chet HaEgel. The Magen Avraham asked, how come we don't have a SOY Shabbos and have special speakers and have the Gabbai Shenei and everybody should have in mind to be Yotze with the Brachas and so on. So he said the same thing as the Chiras Chet Miriam. Why don't we have a Chiras Chet Miriam? So he says it's a Gnai Lo'os HaTzadekis, that the Gabbai should make an announcement. It's a Gnai Shel Yisrael, we should make an announcement. The SOY is having a special Shabbaton, a special speakers, and special meals, and so on. But really it is, once a year, every year, we should learn Parshas Chet HaEgel. This week happens to be Parshas Chet HaEgel. So the question is, what's the nature of the mitzvah? What kind of a mitzvah is this to remember the Chet HaEgel? By the Yovdei Avodah Zarah, by the Christians, by them, they believe that man is born into sin. Everyone is born and his soul is a state. And we believe in Shom Shenasat to be Tahirahi. When I was born, my soul was clean, my soul was pure. That's the Gemara later in Bob Metzia. The Gemara comments on the passing in Baruch Nafshi. Baruch Atah V'Vayecho, Baruch Atah, it's not in Baruch Nafshi. No, Baruch Atah V'Vayecho, Baruch Atah B'Tzei Secho. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? She Tehei Yitziyoscha Min Olam Ki Biyoscha La'olam. Just like the Yoschalom, just like when you were born, you were pure. So the blessing is, when you die, you should also be pure. You shouldn't sin during your lifetime, so you shouldn't taint your soul. So the assumption is, when the Jewish soul is born, when a soul is born, it's pure. The Rosh Hashanah and that Gemara writes that this Gemara seems to be a contradiction to those who believe in Gilgal Neshamas. They say that sometimes a soul is born into this world, a second time is born into the world, the second time, because it's tainted from the first time, and he has to come to be Mesakan Samaver that he did the first time. So he says, how does it jive with this Gemara? The Gemara says, So it sounds like every soul is born as Tahar. That's why there are many Hasidim who will not look in the Rashash. He was an Apikiris. He doesn't believe in Gilgal and the Shamas. Good question.
Could we just say
Bias
means the very first
Bias Halolam? Could be. Okay. That's what the Rashash writes. Mikan Ktsas Stira, the Bali HaGilgal. Doesn't write Stira. It says Ktsas Stira, the Bali HaGilgal.
What did he do with the Gemara?
He just gave it Teretz. He just said Bias Halolam the first time around. First time around was Tor. Okay, could be. One of the great Rishonim, who we don't have too much from him, Rab Chizdoy Kreskes, he went down in history as a big philosopher. He wrote the Or Hashem, that's a book on Hashkofa. But he was the same time as the Ran, and he was considered the God, one of the Gedolei Hador, the Gedolei Hador, during the lifetime of the Ran. So Chizdoy Kreskes, in his Sefer Or Hashem, lists off what we believe in, then he has a section what we don't believe, and then he has a section what's irrelevant to our religion. The distance of the earth to the sun is not part of our religion, neither here nor there. So he says, Gilgal and the Shamas is irrelevant to our religion. Neither here nor there, it doesn't matter. Maybe yeah, maybe no, has not. It's not for Nikori Hamuna. It's not part of our religion. Maybe it is so that. How does God run the world? So ask him. It's not relevant. It's not part of our religion. That's what he says. So what's the nature of this mitzvah? We should remember, Lidoiris, that we all sinned with the Chet HaEgel. Why should we remember? We should all have this. We should all be depressed, walk around with a depressed attitude, that we're all born into this world as sinners. We should try to pull ourselves out. So the Ramban explains a little bit, and others explain the Torah Tmima, and his autobiography explains it better. He said there is a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah where the Gemara says that the Derech HaTeva, it doesn't make sense that the Jews should worship the Egel. L'ho Yisrael Shebosado Ruim L'Oisa Maisem. After experiencing Esamakas and Kriyas Yamsef and Maimon HaSina and Gil Yishchina and everything, so how can they go worship Avodah Zarah? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So he said, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended their Bechira Chavshes and he caused them to sin. For what purpose? L'horis Tshuva L'Rabim, to teach the lesson of Tshuva, that it's possible the whole Klal Yisrael, the majority of Klal Yisrael, Shevet Levi didn't sin, but the majority of Klal Yisrael will worship Avodah Zarah, and they can pull themselves out of the mess and they can do tshuva. So the whole Chet HaEgel was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu min HaShemayim to teach us the lesson of tshuva. And the Pasuk says, Vayav Hashem apanu vayikra Hashem Hashem kal rachmechanu. The Gemara says in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, Vayav Hashem apanu sounds like Shliach Tzibur ha'oivar lifnei ha'teva. So Malam Shinisatev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shliach Tzibur, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Mara HaNevuah here. He had a vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dressed up like a person, and he put on a talis, and sat by HaKadosh Baruch Hu kushliach tzibah, like a chazan, and he said the Yud Gimel Midas, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, because man shebanei choytim, yasa lefon kiseidu hazeh, vani moichalehem. This is, they should do tshuva, they should recite Yud Gimel Midas. This secret was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Yom Kippur, the last day when he was on Har Sinai, 40 days and 40 days and 40 days. So the last day of the third unit of 40 days was Yom Kippur, and then he came down. So that's why we repeat Yud Gimel Midas many times on Yom Kippur, because this secret, the Soid of Amiras, Yud Gimel Midas, was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu on that occasion. So the whole purpose of the Chet HaEgel was in order to teach the Bnei Yisrael that it's possible to do tshuva, and how to do tshuva, to have a Shliach Tzibur, to say Yud Gimel Midas, and so on. So that's what the Torah Pnimima quotes from Psalm of Farshim. That's perhaps the reason why Parshas Parah is their Isa. Because Rashi on Parshas Parah, Parshas Chukas, quotes from Moshe Adarshan, that's the Bamidbar Rabbah, that Tov Ha'emet Kaneach Tzoas Bino, that the Egel is the blood of the Parah. So the mitzvah Parah Duma was given in order to serve as a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. So the whole significance of remembering the Chet HaEgel is to remember that it's possible to do tshuva. So that's why by reading Parshas Parah, v'yotze this chi of the rice of remembering Chet HaEgel. You don't have to remember Chet HaEgel per se, you have to remember that it's possible to be misaken. If even after the whole klal does Chet HaEgel, it's possible to be misaken.
What about the other materials that aren't denies, like Shabbos, and we clap and have a whole reading for those?
Shabbos, we say Kiddush every week. That's Zohar. Zohar. We don't. Yeah, the Gemara does not assume. Yeah, Yalkut Shemayni says that Zechiras Chet Miriam is Zechiras Chet Egel Shadi Mitech HaKsav, just like Parsha Zohar. But Shabbos, the Gemara never says, yeah.
Why isn't the mitzvah
Zechiras Chet
Egel included in the original four Zechiras that the
early Yechavim got? I don't know. Because the Ramban was Mesupik, whether this is a mitzvah or not. He's not sure whether it's a mitzvah to the Doris or it's only to the Dora Midbar. Maybe that's why they didn't want to count it.
Hashem suspended all their Bechira. Why did he threaten to wipe them out?
Why what?
Why did he threaten to wipe them out?
Very good question. I don't know. If one is if he didn't have Bechira Chavshah, so he can't be held responsible for the other areas. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Anyway, this is part of the pshat. Others suggest that the stipula suggests that Parshas Purim is their raisa for different reason, because the pasuk says veizartem is bnei Yisrael mitumasam loitamos mishkani asher b'soicham. What do you mean veizartem? Veizartem is as hor lebezin that they should be mafresh the tmeim from entering the makam amigdosh. So the rabbanut used to have a sign. I don't know if they do something. They still have a sign. By the Kosel HaMarovis, they have a sign that according to Jewish law, Tmeim are not allowed to enter past this point, so you're not allowed to go. So that's the mitzvah, the Hizartim is Bnei Yisrael, to warn the Bnei Yisrael, to be mafish them from entering the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tumah. So laning Parshas Purim, every so often, once a year, whenever, laning Parshas Purim is a chiyuv deraisa, not a chiyuv al kol yachad v'yachad, no, it's a chiyuv on the Bezin. The Bezin is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of the Hizartim is Bnei Yisrael. And others suggest a different teretz. I think the Aruch HaShulchan suggests it's teretz. When the Rishonim said that Parshas Purim is their Isa, they didn't mean laning Parshas Purim once a year is their Isa on Parshas Purim. They meant if you happen to be making a Purim Aduma every 50, 80 years, they would make a Purim Aduma. So just like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the Gemara learns out on Daf Hei in Yuma that part of the Seder Avoda is that the Kohen Gadol has to lane. And Aliyah has the line from the Sefer Torah about Ach Parshas Achar Mos, the Seder HaVoida. And when they built the Mishkan also, there was a Hiroshua that they had a lane. Part of the Hakamas HaMishkan was that they had a lane, the Parsha of Hakamas HaMishkan. So every 80 years or so, when you make a Paraduma, somebody has to lane the Parshas Paraduma. But it does mean that it's an annual mitzvah, once a year, every year, to lane Parshas Par. So that's why Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Omim that Parshas Purim is a chiyuv deraisa. Yeah.
It would be the year that they made the Purim Aduma, they would lane beforehand or the
in connection after? At the time that they're burning the Purim Aduma, they're turning it into ashes. So then there's a din. You have to lane Parshas Purim.
So it would be during the week. It'd be, so it's like
whenever happens the din. Sure, during the week, not on Shabbos. Yeah, the Pashtus is like that.
But by Yom Kippur, it has in Mishnah's Yuma, it says that they have to lay it, right? But in Purim, it's not say that.
Mm-hmm. So the Aruch HaShulchan actually shows in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Hei, it says it. He thinks it says it in the Gemara. It says interpretation of the Gemara. Yep. Is it really true that Bizman HaZeh Tomei Meis is not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdosh? Is it really true? So people usually assume, the Mishnah Berurah assumes like that, that it depends on the machloikis, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the Makam HaMikdash is Kitchel Osi Lover, like Kitchel Osi Lover. What has machloikis regarding the Makam HaMikdash, whether Kitchel Osi Lover, whether the Kedushas HaMikdash disappeared at the time of the Churban HaBayis, and another machloikis, whether the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael was butler at the time of Churban HaOretz, Churban HaMedina. And the Balei HaTosfos point out in Megillah Daf Yud that they're not necessarily Tolei Zeh B'Zeh. The Gemara usually does put them together. So Tosfos has a whole Arichas that they're not Tolei Zeh B'Zeh. They can't be Tolei Zeh B'Zeh. The Rambam claims in Hilchos Beis HaBchira that the Kedushas HaMikdosh from the time that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdosh was Kitchel Osi Lavo. During the 70 years of Golos Bavel, the Makom HaMikdosh retained its Kedusha and Eretz Yisrael did not have Kedusha. And you can have, and according to the Ravid, the Makam HaMikdash is bottle, the Kedusha was bottle, and the Kedusha Shnei was like bottle of Eretz Yisrael. So today, according to the Ravid, there is Kedusha Sa'aretz Menat Torah, there is kedushas eretz olam and atar, and there's no kedushas mokam amigdash. You can have one without the other. They had a mishkan in the midbar. There was no eretz yisrael at all. They had a beis amigdash in the midbar. So you can have a kedushas beis amigdash without kedushas haaretz. You have kedushas haaretz without beis amigdash. Before Shlomo HaMelech built the first beis amigdash, there was kedushas eretz yisrael without. There was a mishkan shiloh, but. It's possible to have one without the other. See, even though the Gemara puts them together, whether Kitcha lost love or not, the Tosfos of Megillah Daf Yud quotes Rav Chaim Koiner said that it's not necessarily totally zeh v'zeh. So how do we taka assume? The Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that it's a sveka d'dina. The Rambam holds in Hilchos Beis HaBchira that the Malkam HaMikdash is Kitcha lost Ilavoy, and therefore if a Tomei Meis will enter Bizman HaZeh he'll be Chayv Koris, just like if the Tomei enters Bizman HaBeis HaMikdash HaYikayim, and the Ravid thinks that there's no Koris. The Rabbi thinks that it's loy kitcha losi lava. What motivates the Rabbi to think like that is that the psukim in Novi say that losi lava, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, it'll be more glorious and more spectacular and more mekudesh than the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made. So if he said that the Makam HaMikdash is kitcha losi lava, he said whatever level of kedusha it had in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, that's it. How can the Kedusha of the Bais HaShlishi exceed the Kedusha of the Bais Rishon if it's Kitcha Lasei Lava? You can't endow it with a higher level of Kedusha. So he says, Be'achreach, you have to say that the Kedusha HaMikdash was Botla, and when it will be rebuilt for the third time around, then it will be more spectacular and we'll endow it with more Kedusha. That's what the Rabbi writes. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, because it's a Sveka Adina, where the Kitcha Lasei Lava like Kitcha Lasei Lava, so Tommy should be careful not to enter the Makom HaMikdash. And Mishnah Berurah is assuming that according to the Ravid, not all, the Ravid writes, he disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam thinks Kitcha Lasei Lava, Makom HaMikdash, Ravid thinks like Kitcha Lasei Lava, and therefore the Ravid says, and the burden of proof is on the Rambam. If he wants to say that the one who enters Betum is Chayv Kares, he thinks that there's no Kares. The burden of proof is on the Rambam.
But today's time, do you know exactly where that means Kedushas HaMikdash where each hand can enter? Like, is the Kodel of Kedushas HaMikdash occurring, let's say, where each
hand? No, we assume the Kodel of HaMaravi is the Kodel of the Harabayas. Some before the one of the Gdolim, who was a Talmud of the Beis HaLevi, wrote in his Chuvis that the Kodel HaMaravi is the Kodel of the Azor. Kosel Abdazar. So if you're standing in front of the Kosel Maravi davening, you're standing in the Harabais. So no one's allowed to go. So there are those who are Machmer. He was the Talmud of Beis HaLevi, so Machmer, that you're not allowed to stand in front of the Kosel Maravi. We know it's a mistake. We know it's not so. It's the Kosel of the Harabais. But the question is, are you allowed to go on the other side? So we know the Harabais in Zman Baisheni was expanded, and it was never, the extra area was never in the Scottish. It's twice as big as it's supposed to be. And it was expanded by Hordas, and it was never in the Scottish. So it's a big question, where was the original area of the Harabais that has the Kedusha, and where was the expanded area that was never in the Scottish? So there are different guesses. They have a different suggestion, they have different maps to try to guess which areas do have Kedusha's Harabais and which areas don't have Kedusha's Harabais.
So I'm going to say, like, you could go to the Kotel, like, you can't touch the wall. Is that, like,
can't touch the wall. Rav Moshe Feinstein has in his Tshuva, Rav Soloveitchik said the same. Maybe you shouldn't lean on the wall, because the Gemara says the wall is paid for with hegdish dika money. So the wall has kedusha. So if you lean on the wall, it's like leaning on it. You're not allowed to lean on an Aron Kodesh either, because it has kedusha. So you're not allowed to, maybe you're not allowed to lean on the Kosel Maravi. You're not allowed to touch it. Why not? What's that there touching it?
Between the stones,
so the Beis HaLevi quotes such a wild, the Beis HaLevi, the Avnei Nezer quotes such a chumrah that maybe we should say that the thickness of the wall was Niskadesh. So he says that that's a mistake. He says even the Maril Diskin, who was the world's biggest machmir and everything, was mekel on that. He said Maril Diskin said that that's a joke. So if it was Niskadesh, so that from the midpoint in, it'll be Niskadesh, but not the outer half, that's for sure not. That's for sure not. And even the inner half, probably also not Niskadesh, but you can't just stick your hands so far in that it should be past the halfway point. So that's a question, is that really so? What the Mishnah Berurah assumes, that according to the Ravid, that there's no Kedusha Smachim HaMikdash Bezman HaZeh, that Kedusha HaMikdash is Botlo, so a Tomei is permitted to enter. The Ravid doesn't really say that. The Ravid says, HaMechayv HaKoris, all of Araya. The one who says Chayv Koris, so the burden of proof is on the Rambam. It sounds a little bit from the Ravid, that's how the Achreidim HaMedayik, that a prohibition there is anyway. Even the Oloiki Chalos Elov, there will be an Issa Deraisa for a Tomei to enter into the Harabai. It's just that in order to be Chayv Koris, that depends on Kichalos Elov. If Lo Kichalos Elov, so he didn't enter the Makam HaMukudish B'Kedushas HaZorah. Or the Makam HaMukudish B'Kedushas Harabais. But even if Loi Kichalos Elovoi, there's still a din of Mora HaMikdosh. That's a Gemara in the first parak in Yevamos. When did we learn Yevamos? Last year. So long ago. It's enough time to forget. So last year when we learned Yevamos, there was a Gemara in the first parak. The Gemara quoted Abraise, that it says, Esh HaPsoise Tishmar Mikdoshi Tiro'u Ani Hashem. So it says, Mikdoshi Tiro'u not only applies Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdosh Kaim, Afilo after the Churban Abayis, because it's in one pasuk together with Esh HaPsoise Tishmayru. Just like Shabbos doesn't make a difference Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdosh Kaim or not, so too Mikdoshi Tiro doesn't make a difference whether the Beis HaMikdosh is Kaim or not. So Pashup Pshat, you can learn in the Gemara that the Gemara means to say that Kichalos Ilova. This is the marker for the idea that Kichalos Ilova. But in the other Gemaras, when they talk about Kichalos Ilova, they never quote that Braisa, that Hekesh is the marker for that idea. They quote other Psukim. Mishnah Megillah quotes other Psukim to indicate how come nobody quotes that? So that's what a few major Achrayim want to suggest, that Moira HaMikdosh is a Chiyav even if you hold that Loikich Alos Elovoi. This used to be the Makam HaMikdosh, and this is going to be, the Beis HaMikdosh is going to be built there in the future. It's not going to be relocated, it's not going to be moved to a different place. So there's a din of Moira HaMikdosh, even if it doesn't have Kedusha. So part of Moira HaMikdosh is that a Tomei shouldn't enter. So the Rabbi was only masik that since it's like Kichalos Lava, so there's no Koris. That's what it sounds like in the Rabbi. He's only arguing there's no Koris, but he's masking there should be an Issa for a Tomei to enter the Haravais.
There are other Gemaras that say that the mitzvah of
Mitzvah Tiro is talking about the case of Joshua's. Is there a Mokar in the that says what? Whether it applies to shul or not. We don't have. And the Gemara says the reason why it's lower is because it's a Mikdash Meyat, and Rabbi Yecheskel says in advance, Kodesh Baruch Hu is punishing the Bnei Yisrael, is going to send them into Gog, is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and there in Bavel we will have a Mikdash Meyat. V'eilahem le-Mikdash Meyat. So Mikdash Meyat, eilah batim k'nesiyas, batim edrash and shebet Bavel. So because it's only Meyat, so the Chiyav Kovid is enough Kovid. Kvod Beis HaKnesi, you don't need Moira HaMikdash. So lower level.
It doesn't imply that there's no condition?
No, not really. Doesn't really say. I don't think so. And that goof is a machlekes harishayim. When the Gemara made that comment in the end of Megillah, "Vay lahem lemigdash miat ele batim k'nesiyas batim edrash shabbat bavel," so the Reim holds that that's a real din deraisa, and the Ran and other rishayim hold that it's only an asmachta mid the rabbanon. That's not really pshat in the pasuk. And the Achrayim have a diuk from the Rambam and the Minyan Amitzvus, that the Rambam agrees with the Reim, that he holds that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is their Issa. Because when the Rambam, he doesn't write it anywhere else, doesn't write it in the Sefer HaMitzvah, doesn't write it in Pirush HaMishnayos, doesn't write it in the Mishnah Torah. When the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvah was originally written in Arabic and it's translated into Hebrew, then the Rambam gives you Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzora. He just has four or five pages in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah where he reviews each one of the mitzvahs just giving one line. Instead of giving a whole paragraph, gives one line. So when he gives the kitzer, he adds on a din that he never writes anywhere else. And the kitzer should be kitzer. He says the din, Lasasin kain l'Hashem alokechem, asar l'noit etzeven, min ha-mizbeach, or l'noit etzeven, mi beis ha-knesses, and mi beis ha-medrash. So the Rama puts it into the ninyan ha-mitzvahs b'ktzara. It sounds like he holds that a beis ha-knesses is a mikdash meyat, on the level of the Raisa. If it's only an asmachtim of the Rabbanim, so what does he put it into the minyan amitzis b'ktzara? So anyway, I tell it, what did he put it in? Why did he put it in the minyan amitzis b'ktzara? It doesn't belong there. Put it in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, put it in the Mishnah Torah. Anyway, it's a pella, but it sounds from the Rambam that he holds that it's a Rav Soloveitchik had that diuk also, the Achronim have that diuk. It sounds from the Rambam that he thinks like the Yireim, that the Mikdash Miyat, as referring to Bati Knesis, Bati Midrash HaShem Bubble, sounds like it's a real din deraisa. The beginning of Parshas Kisis, you have the din of Machtzis HaShekel, the Karbonis Tzibur have to be purchased by Machtzis HaShekel. If a private person will donate $5 million to fund all the Karbonis Tzibur, so we won't be Yotze. A private person can donate. Let's say another person is B'chuyif. Someone was Machal Shabbos B'shergin, he has to bring a Karbon Chatos. Someone else wants to do him a favor, so he's Magdish a Karbon on behalf of the other person. Or the other person is poor, can't afford to pay for a Karbon Pesach. So I'm Magdish a Karbon Pesach on his behalf. So the Gemara learns that from a Pesach. Gemara Nazir learns that from a Pesach. There is such an institution. Magdish, Amonashi is Kapa Bochaveir. I'm Magdish a Karbon, and someone else is going to be the Bala Karbon for kapara purposes. I'm called the Bala Karbon for Hagdosha purposes. He's the Bala Karbon for kapara purposes. So Bizman Baisheni, they used to have a lot of machlekes in between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. So one of the recorded, the Mishnais and the Teseptas record a lot of the machlekes. There are probably more machlekes, but the Mishnais only record that was less than 25, I think. So one of the recorded machlekes was about this. So the Tzedukim felt that we would permit, and when they were running the show in the Beis HaMikdash, they permitted it. A wealthy person would donate $5 million and they would hang up a plaque on the Beis HaMikdash. All the karbonos this year have been covered, the expense of the Gemara has been covered by this family from Mexico City. Everything is taken care of. No Klal Yisrael is Yotze. So the Chachamim said it's against the din. And the Gemara says one of the Yamim Teufim of Megillus Tainus was when they kicked out the Tzdukim from the Beis HaMikdash, and he took him to me, though the Korban Tabid was established, that it'll be brought properly. The Tmidim and Masafim have to be purchased, Davke, from the Machzal Shekel money. The money has to come from all of Klal Yisrael. We don't, and everybody has to give the same amount. It doesn't mean no one should give a penny more than Machzal Shekel. That's not what it means. It means no one should give more than anybody else. Everybody gives the same amount. It probably was rarely Machtzis HaShekel. Probably was rarely ever Machtzis HaShekel. The Rebbe writes, every year the Bezna has to assess how big is the Jewish population, and then what percentage of the people will pay the money on time this year. Fundraisers are experts in this. When people pledge to give money, how soon are they going to pay their pledges? What percentage of people will not pay? And what percentage of the people will pay on time? You need the money this year to buy the karbonas. And then you have to figure out how many karbonas do you need this year? Is the year going to have 13 months or 12 months? If the Shonim Uberes has 13 months, so you need more karbonas. And how expensive will the animals be? What's doing in the world of animals? It could be that the cost of animals is going to go up, going to go down, whatever, you have to figure out. So you never get away with less than Machtzis HaShekel. Machtzis HaShekel is the minimum amount that each person has to give. Probably Ruba de Ruba of the time, they had to give way more than Machtzis HaShekel. So every year the Bezim would announce, this year the amount for Machtzis HaShekel is so much, and the din was Hoshala Yarba Badala Yamit. Everyone has to give the same amount.
Based on a lot of overestimate, being like...
They better overestimate, yeah. If they'll make a mistake. The Ravid and the Rambam have a machlekes. In the beginning of Baisheni, it says in Ezra Nehemiah that they gave Darkona Shel Zov, they gave gigantic golden coins. So what were they giving these big golden coins for? You're only supposed to give Machtzis HaShekel. Sounds like it was a fortune of money. So the Ravid says because 95%, 98% of the Jews remained behind in Bavel. They didn't want to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And they can't rely on them that they're going to send Machtzis HaShekel. Probably not going to send Machtzis HaShekel money. And you're only relying on 1 or 2% of the population. Who says they're all going to pay on time? Maybe they'll pay next year, Machtzis HaShekel. Who's going to say they're going to pay on time? So they had to charge Darkon Shel Zov. They had to ask everyone to give a fortune of money. Everybody gave the same amount, Darkon Shel Zov. Oshel Vayarba means no one's allowed to give more than anybody else, but they all had to give way more than Machtzis HaShekel. That's what the Ravid says. Because they knew in advance that they can't rely on anybody from Bavel, because they're probably not going to send any money in. The Rambam has a different explanation. The Rambam holds that you have to give Machzis hashekel is a minimum. We'll soon figure out how much that is in dollars and cents. And then either that, whichever is the higher amount, or the machzis of the matbea hayoyse b'oyse medina. Let's say now, what's the matbea in Eretz Yisrael? The shekel chadash. So if a machzis hashekel chadash is more than machzis hashekel of the Torah, then you have to give that. A machzis hashekel of the Torah is more than that, you have to give whichever is the higher of the two. So the Rambam claims that historically, in the beginning of the Baisheni period, the matbea, like in America, the matbea hayotze b'medina is a dollar. And in Russia it used to be rubles, and in every country it's a different matbea. So for the purpose of machzis hashekel, they had to give darkon shel zov, because that was the matbea hayotze b'oseh medina, so everybody had to give a machzis of the darkon shel zov. The Raidin makes fun of the Rambam, so he says, how can it be they were so poor in the beginning of the Baisheni period? How can it be that the matbea hayotze b'oseh medina was a golden coin that was worth $50? That's ridiculous. Who was walking around? They couldn't afford anything. So the Rebbe thinks that that's not the correct, the Rambam's suggestion is not the correct answer. The correct pshat is because they couldn't rely on any money coming in from Bavel. They had only 1% of the world Jewish population is supporting the Hakrovas HaKarbonas. So they had to give 100 times more. Everyone had to give 100 times more than normal.
And there's still a question on the Rebbe, because yes, maybe you could say that the currency wasn't such a great currency in Eretz Yisrael against the Rambam, but still, how can you make a chi of gold darkonos on a poor person who obviously can't pay?
They had no choice. They had to. So whoever couldn't pay, couldn't pay. Whoever could pay had to carry the burden of 100 people. Okay, that's what he said. Everybody had to give 100 times more than they had to. How much is machzah shekel, tak? How much is machzah shekel? So a shekel, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, has all the calculations. Rashi just multiplies arithmetic there. So the Rashi points out that a dinar has kuf tzadik beis prutas, 192 prutas, just multiplied, has 192 prutas, and then there are 4 dinarim in a shekel. So if you want to do a machzah shekel, so a kuf tzadik beis prutas in 1 dinar, so there are 2 dinarim, and a machzah shekel, so multiply kuf tzadik beis, 192 times 2. 192 times 2 is how much? 384 prutas. And a machzis ha-shekel is 10% of pinyin ha-ben. Pinyin ha-ben is 5 shekelim. So half of a shekel is 1/10 of pinyin ha-ben. So if you multiply 384 by 10, you just add a zero. So it's 3840. So if pinyin ha-ben would be $38.40, if a pruta would be a penny, then pinyin ha-ben would be $38.40. How much is a pruta? How much is a pruta? So the Gemara there in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, says one of the Amoraim thought that a pruta is the smallest coin in the monetary system in the country where you live. That's called a pruta. Ish miskadeshes bepruta. A pruta would be a penny in the United States. In England, I don't know, they still have halfpennies. They used to have halfpennies. So whatever is the smallest denomination in that country, so one opinion of the Gemara was that's a pruta. And the Gemara rejects it. They prove that it's wrong. So the Gemara never says, so what is the correct answer? What is a pruta? So the Gemara never gives the answer. The Gemara just says, what he said was wrong. It's not the smallest coin. So the Ramban has Hilchas Pinyin HaBen. There is no riff on Bechoris. So the Ramban wrote Hilchas Bechoris. And you have the Marital Ghazi on the side, took over. The Marital Ghazi took over the whole Masech Bechoris. Okay. So the Ramban quotes a tradition from the garden. There's one perek towards the end of Masech Bechoris, next to the last perek. The last perek in Bechoris is about Maisa Behema. And next to the last perek is about Pinyin HaBen, has all the dinim. Perek Yesh Bechoris. And Perek Yesh Bechoris, the Ramban has all the dinim of Pinyin HaBen. So he quotes the tradition from the Gaonim, and this is quoted in Yerideo also, Hilchas Pinyin HaBen. So it says, the tradition of the Gaonim is, how much is a pruta, mishkal chatzi seora kesef zokuk. You take a barley grain. They're different sizes barley grains. Large size, medium size, small size. You have to take a medium size. How are you going to figure out how much is a medium size? You have to take 5 million barley grains and weigh them, and that'll be twice 5 million chatzi sora. So, mishkal chatzi sora, you cut an average size barley grain exactly in half, and you put that on one side of the scale, and you put silver on the other side of the scale. So the value of the silver, that is the weight of mishkal chatzi sora, kesef, zakuf, pure silver, that is a pruta. That is a pruta. So for many years in America, the pruta was way less than a penny because silver was down. Now silver is up, so it's way more. So years ago, pinyon aven used to be way less than $38.40. Strictly speaking, it was much less because a pruta was less than a penny. And now it's way more. I think it's over $100 could be. Pinyon aven is 96 grams of pure silver. That's what most of the poskim hold. That's what the Chazon Ish holds and the Stipel of Bir Agro. It's all based on early sources. 96 grams of pure silver is assumed to be the correct amount for a pinyon aven, and that's 3,840 prutas. So, if you want to figure out how much is a pruta, you got to figure out the divide. How much is pinyon aven? 96 grams. Minig is, the Chazon Ish, minig is that you give 100 grams just to round it off. But strictly speaking, you have to give 96 grams of pure silver. So for machta shekel purposes, it's 384 frutas. Okay? One-tenth of the pinyon of it. Instead of 96 grams, it's 9.6 grams of pure silver. Will be machta shekel. The fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash starts from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the Gemara learns that from Psukim. And the Gemara says the new Karbonis starting from a Shchodesh Nissan have to be purchased with the new Machzah Shekel money. L'chatchil b'di'evet, if you purchase the Karbonis with last year's Machzah Shekel money, b'di'evet, it would be good. But the mitzvah b'shlei Musa is every year to purchase starting from a Shchodesh Nissan, that's the beginning of the fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash, to purchase the Karbonis with the newly collected Machzah Shekel money. A lot of people were negligent. They didn't, when it comes to paying debts, not everybody pays their taxes on time. Not everybody pays. Some people never pay. But that guy wakes up at the age of 95. He's thinking about going to the Olam HaEmes. And he says, hey, I never gave Machzah Shekel money. So he says, to start calculating, he has to look back in the newspaper, how much was Machzah Shekel in Shnas Tavshin Ayin Gimel, Ayin Beis, Ayin Aleph, Tavshin Ayin, Tavshin Samach Des. And they have in the Beis HaMikdash, they had different pushkas, gigantic boxes. One was taklan charetin, shkolim chadoshin, and then it had box with taklan atikin, shkolim yishonim. Whoever didn't pay machta shekel money, and every year was a different amount based on whether the year had 12 months or 13 months, the cost of the animals, how many people, what the population was, how many people you can rely on to give the machta shekel money. So every year it could be that it's a different amount. And you're not supposed to give more than the correct amount. So let's say the guy never gave machta shekel. He never gave, so he has to give. And the Taklin Atikin, in the Shkolim Yishanim box, he has to give. This is for Tavshin Ayin Gimel, this is for Tavshin Ayin Beit, this is Tavshin Ayin, and so on. And if he gives on time this year, so he puts it in the Shkolim Chadashim, Taklin Charetin box. What he's supposed to do with the Taklin Atikin? What do you do with it? He can't purchase the carbonus for this year. He never gave Machta Shekel from 25 years ago, from 80 years ago, he never gave. So what do you do with it? So the Mishnah discussed, what do you do with that money? Yeah. From what age on is one obligated to give the Machta Shekel money? So the Pasuk says, from the age of 20, that's for the purpose of taking a census to know how many soldiers you're going to have, because you're not allowed to draft men into the army. You don't draft women into the army, period. And you only draft men into the army from the age of 20 up. That's what Rashi writes in the opening psukim in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, when they had to take a census. So he quotes from the Pasuk. The Rambam never writes it, but that's what it says in the Chumash. You're not supposed to draft someone into the army before the age of 20. So they draft them before 20. It's not right. It's Keneged Adin. So this is a big machlokes harishonim, whether this... The Pasuk says, "Memeresim shalom v'malo," they should give machzah shekel. Maybe that's only the machzah shekel for the purpose of taking a census to find out how many soldiers you have for the army. But maybe for the purpose of machzah shekel every year, maybe from bar mitzvah on. So there's a beferish of Yerushalmi that talks about it, and the Rishonim had two girsas in the Yerushalmi. One girsah had only from the age of 20. One girsah had from the age of 13 on. There is a famous sefer, Psomim Rosh. It's supposed to be a Tshuvas HaRosh. So it was put out by a learned fellow in the 1700s, and his father was a prominent rabbi, so the Nodi Behuda gave a haskama to the sefer. Other rabbanim also gave a haskama because they knew the father. and the son who did the work on the manuscript had his ha'oris on the bottom of the page, at Kasa the Harsana. He has his ha'oris. Rabbi Kevegir, every so often in his comments on Shulchan Aruch, will quote from the Kasa the Harsana, or quote from the Bisamim Rosh. So years later, they realized that the whole thing was a forgery. The guy's a Meshugana, and you can't rely on anything that it says there. So one of the things that he has there is in his Kasa the Harsana, he has this, that since according to some Rishonim, the children before the age of 20 are not mechuyev to give machtza shekel. So just like the Nadav Yehuda has a chiddush in the tzlach is Nadav Yehuda's sefer on the Gemara and Brochet. So just like he has a chiddush that women are not mechuyev to daven musaf. The Gemara says, why are women obligated to daven? After all, davening is a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. And Tosfos' opinion is that women are exempt from fulfilling mitzvah shazman groma, even if it's only the rabbanon. Rashi holds that the rule that women are exempt from mitzvah shazman groma only applies to mitzvahs deraisa, and on mitzvahs derabbanon there is no rule. Each mitzvah depends on the nature of the mitzvah. And Tosfos disagrees and says, no, in principle the rule should be that women are potter even from mitzvah shazman groma derabbanon, unless you have a yotze min haklal, because often ha'i b'yotze ha'nes. The Gemara has the exception from Mikra Megillah, Padlokas Nerachas Chanukah, Haseba, and Arba Kaisas, because Afin Haibiyos on this. So here, we know that the women, the Mishnah said the women were not Mechuyev to give Machzah Shekel money. Machzah Shekel went for the purpose of purchasing Karbonas Tzibur. So the Gemara says, why are women Mechuyev to Dav? And the Mishnah says, Dav Chof and Brochas, Noshim Chayov is Betfila. Why are they Mechuyev? Let it be as Mangroma, even though it's only the Rabbanans, Mangroma should still be Potter. So the Gemara says, because tefillah rachmininu, the purpose of davening is bakoshas sarachim, and the women have needs also. They have to take care of their needs. So the women are just as obligated as the men. The chachamim amasak, the women have to daven. So Tosfos has a klal that this idea of rachmi, tefillah rachmininu, the ikar of the davening, is bakoshas sarachim, only applies to shachris mincha musaf. Shachris mincha ma'ariv doesn't apply to musaf. Tosfos says, there's another Gemara that says, does it make sense to have tashlumin? If a person didn't daven mincha, does it make sense he should make tashlumin, he should daven Shmoneh Esrei, Maira the second time? Gemara says yes, even though karbonis, we would say, ovo yoma batal karbana, you can't bring a karbon on if you miss the day, but since tefillah is rachmin, you know, so it does make sense to have tashlumin. So Tosfos says, but musaf is not rachmin, musaf is only for the purpose of neshama forms of seno, so therefore Tosfos says, that there's no tashlum in amusaf. So based on putting everything together, the Gemara says the reason why women are mechuyev to daven even though it's zman groma because tefillah rachmininu, and Tosfos says the rachmininu rachmi doesn't apply to musaf. That's why there's no tashlum. So you put two and two together, it should come out that women are not mechuyev to daven musaf because it's zman groma, and it's not rachmin. So that's what the Mishnah Bura quotes halacha lemaisa from the tzlach, that the women are not mechuyev to daven musaf. Usually the women come to shul in the middle of kriyas haTorah. So the only daven musaf, so that's taka not right. When they come to shul, they should daven shachris. When everybody else is davening musaf, they should daven shachris. That's also tefillah b'tzibur. There used to be a guy who used to come into shul late. He used to daven in the middle of kriyas haTorah. So he would daven musaf with everybody, and every Shabbos he would ask the shaila, can he daven shachris? Is he allowed to daven shachris after having already daven musaf? So that's the Mechaba and the Ramah both write like that. L'chatchil, you shouldn't do like that, because you're not allowed to bring any karbonis before the Talmud Shal Shachar. So davening musaf before davening shachris is comparable to bringing karbonis before the Talmud Shal Shachar. But b'di'evid, the Rishonim all, Tosfos has a long discussion on this. B'di'evid, if you brought karbonis before the Talmud Shal Shachar, there will be kosher. So b'di'evid, if you daven musaf before you daven shachris, you don't have to repeat the musaf after having daven shachris. But more correct would have been, when everybody's davening musaf, he should daven shachris. That'll be tefillah b'tzibur. Then he can daven musaf later, b'yechidin, so we're davening mincha. But we're davening mincha, let him daven musaf. It's also tefillah b'tzibur. Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan has a tshuva about that. Is that called tefillah b'tzibur? If we're davening two different Shmoneh Esrei, I'm davening musaf and they're davening shachris. Or I'm davening mincha and they're davening musaf. Is that so many poskim hold, Rabbi Chaim held that it is tefillah b'tzibur. So this Kasa Daharsana, this faker, who put out the Besamim Rosh, has this chiddush. That just like women are not mechuyev to daven musaf, because the women didn't have to participate in machzas hashekel, So the ketanim before the age of 20, according to those who hold that you're not obligated to give machzor shekel until the age of 20, so ketanim are not obligated to daven musik. You want to daven musik, but you shouldn't be the shliach tzibur. Just like you can't have a cotton before bar mitzvah serve as the shliach tzibur. For shachris and mincha, because he's ein v'chuy bedover, he's only b'toras chinuch. So a child between 13 and 20 shouldn't be the bal tefillah for musaf. So there's some, it's a cute chumer. So there's some who machmer like that. But in the youth minyanim, you can't be machmer. Youth minyanim, they're all before the age of 20. Of course, you're going to have one of the kids daven musaf. We don't hold like anything this guy. This guy was a faker. It's an argument. It's a good point. Why shouldn't the children before the age of 20 be the same? Should they be the same? We have to ignore anything that he says, because he was a shtickle and apikoyrist. But so there's a whole discussion. Is he right or is he wrong?
Even those people are not for the
carbon, they're still hired in personal karbanos. A woman hired to bring regular chiyuvim, they have it themselves. Right.
So why can't they say musaf?
They were never mechuyev to take care of the karbon musaf. I mean, but still the karbon musaf was offered on their behalf. The children before the age of 20, not mechuyev to give machzor shekel, but when they bring the karbonos tevinim and musafim, it's offered on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, including gam l'rabbis hanoshim. It's often on behalf of the women. So why is there not a view? Why is the tzlach so convinced? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the tzlach. Why is he so convinced? Because the women are not mechuyev to give machzor shekel. They're not mechuyev to daven musaf. Why? They're not mechuyev to pay machzor shekel. But the korbanos musaf are offered on their behalf. Maybe it should also be in a shalma form. So saying, the taina against the tzlach. Why is he so convinced? It's a good taina. The Gemara in Bechoris has a klal that Shavu Kesev is Kesev in Kol HaTorah Kula, with three exceptions to the rule. When you get married, the Kaddish and Isha Bekesev said, we don't give cash, we give a ring. The Ramah quotes the meaning from the Zohar, to give a ring. Or you give Shamadu Shavu Kesev, meaning is you don't give Kesev. And in Kol HaTorah Kula, the din is that Shavu Kesev is Kesev. The three exceptions to the rule are Pinyin Ma'aseh Sheni, that's famous. It's Ata Kesev, you need Kesev Sheyesh Olav Tzura. Can't be paid in my sesheni on anything other than kesef. And then, and that's a din d'oraisa, learned that from a pasuk. The second exception to the rule, the Gemara has a mechoris daf nun alef, a braisa. Second exception to the rule is machzor shekel. The Gemara doesn't explain what the mocker is. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes, he refers to his chibur on Yerushalmi. When he ran away from the communists, so he had to leave it behind, and he bemoaned the fact that he had to leave it behind. That was his life's work, his chibra on Yerushalmi, and it was lost. So he says in his chibra on Yerushalmi, he established that this is a real din d'orais, that machzor shekel, you have to give dafki kesef, and at yesei, if you give shavu kesef. And then he has a whole tshuva where he discusses golden coins. It says they gave darkon shel zov, how can you give golden coins? The Gemara in Perek Azov has a discussion whether golden coins have a din of kesef or not. Does it have a din of kesef? It has a din of shavu kesef. You see, of course it has a din of kesef. It's a legal tender. It has a din of kesef. Just that machlekes, golden coins versus silver coins. Which one is kesef and which one is not kesef vis-a-vis one and the other? Can you be paid the, if you have silver coins, one can, you have Maisa Sheni money of silver coins. You want to be paid of that, convert that onto golden coins. So if you put a Maaser Sheni onto golden coins, that's kesef. But if you have silver coins, have kedusha Maaser Sheni, so maybe golden coins in contrast to silver coins are called peira in contrast to tiva. Everything in the world is divided into two categories. Either it's peira or it's tiva. Tiva means matbea. Either it's cash or it's commodities. So if you have silver coins are cash, and you have golden coins, and maybe golden coins in contrast to silver coins are considered, since it's not as much yotze b'hoitzor, the silver coins are more yotze b'hoitzor than the gold coins, because the gold coins are so much more valuable. So who walks around with $1,000 bills in their pocket? Some people do. Who walks around with such big denominations of money in their pockets? So that's a discussion in the Gemara. Can you be paid, or can you switch the Kedushas Maaser Sheni on the silver coins onto golden coins? But golden coins per se, let's say you have peiros Maaser Sheni, you have potatoes, you have oranges, whatever, you have bushels of grain. You want to be paid in the Maaser Sheni onto golden coins? Of course you can. That's the holidays. Golden coins have a din of kesef. Just one in contrast to the other, what din does it have? That's where Moshe ascertains in his truth. The third din that you say shavu kesef v'lav kekesef, that for sure is only the rabbanim. Rashi comments on that. Rashi quotes a Yerushalmi. The third din is when the Jews are oila regal on Pesach Shavua Sukkos and they want to purchase oilas riyah, so you have to purchase with dafke with kesef. You can't purchase with shavu kesef. The Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi, gives a whole explanation why they made such a chumrah with the rabbanim. You're afraid you're going to set aside the shavu kesef and the value will go down. So then you won't have enough money to afford to buy the korbanos. So they said, you better set aside money. You should never purchase korbanos oilas riyah with shavu kesef, only with kesef mamash.
Is that connected to the kind of that you're not allowed to be
poded
to Yerushalayim?
Not be poded in Yerushalayim? That's a real din deraisa. No, that's a din. Once the Paris are in Yerushalayim, you can't be poyed. That's a real din there, right? So the shad is where the bizman and zed the din applies. Maybe the din is because if you have ma'aser sheni that's tomei, the Gemara says you can't be poyed in Yerushalayim. Kilo suchol seisa, they ain't seisa lachila. Shenema beisa masos meis panav. The Gemara makis. Yeah. So the Gemara says you can't be poyed in ma'aser sheni shenitma. Even in Yerushalayim, if the Maaser Sheni is Tahar, then you can only be Poyed Chutz Yerushalayim. So some Achrayim write, the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva, that Hatzad HaShav Shabahem is, there's one din opinion. You can only be Poyed in the Maaser Sheni when it's impossible to be Mekayim Mitzvosai the way it is. Chutz Yerushalayim, you can't eat it, you're not allowed to eat it. Or if it's in Yerushalayim, but it's Tameh, you can't eat it. So if it's either Tameh in Yerushalayim or it's Tahar Chutz Yerushalayim, then it lends itself to pinyon because it's not oimed l'mitzvasa the way it is now. So that's what the Radvaz suggests. And maybe bizman hazeh that there's no mizbeach in Yerushalayim, so the din says you're not allowed to eat the ma'aser sheni tohar even in Yerushalayim. So maybe bizman hazeh you would be permitted to be put in ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim. That's what he writes. A chiddush. That's a question. Do we accept his chiddush that the two dinim of pinyon ma'aser sheni are one and the same? Pinyon berichok ma'akam, pinyon in Yerushalayim. If it's nitma, is it the taka the same din? Whenever the Maaser Sheni doesn't lend itself to mitzvah sachila, so it lends itself to pinyon. So if his man is there, he can be poyed even in Yerushalayim. That's a big chiddush. The Pasal Shulchan quotes that from Pasal Shulchan was a Bayit Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He writes all the dinim of Eretz Yisrael. He quotes this Tshuvas HaRadvaz, and it's a question whether he should have quoted it. Is he really right on it?
I mean, it's
in Shulchan
Yer HaKita.
Yeah, only near Atika. Yeah. The rest of Yerushalayim was never in this Kaddish. Yeah.
You can't carry it. So as long as we can't eat it, because we're tummy, so it's the same thing.
We're tummy, yeah, but the Maaser Sheni per se does lend itself to Achila. Let's say one person is tummy, the other person is not tummy. That's just because I'm Tommy, I can be paid it. Let someone else eat it who is not Tommy. It happens that everybody's Tommy. It happens. But someone may be born who won't be Tommy. It's possible. Someone can be born who won't be Tommy. Not everybody in the world is necessarily Tommy.
The Maestrini itself is Tommy. The Maestrini itself is Tommy.
If the Maestrini itself is Tommy, then you can be paid it. But he says, let's say the Maestrini is Tohar, but all the Jews in the world are Tommy. So then you don't have the ability to be paid it in Yerushalayim. Because the Maaser Sheni per se, on its own merit, lends itself to the mitzvah sachila. There's no one alive who can eat it, so that's a technicality. But if the Maaser Sheni itself is tummy, then the Maaser Sheni doesn't lend itself to mitzvah sachila.
How is it possible that we can have Maaser Sheni and
turn out
that everybody's
tummy
and everybody's
tummy? Food is only mekabel tumah, it's hukshar. So let's say it was never rinsed off with water, and it's not mekabel hechshar when it's attached to the ground. Everything that grows in the ground, if it rains, so it's a hukshar. So the din is that it's not mekabel tumah when it's mechubal karka. So it has to be rinsed off with water after it's nitlash min karka. So a lot of times it was never washed off with water. So the Maaser Sheni will be tahar.
Perhaps it's a shadow. The Mishnah says that a katan, if he brings the matzah, it's a shadow, you're mekabel from.
Right, yeah. Right, this akasha that all the achrayim is that akasha. A very strong kasha. The Ktzos HaChoshen proves from that since a cotton shigir loynes haputus can be makd metaltalim mid rabbanon, based on hefker bezne hefker. So he says, so the it's a right that it works min atoyrim. So Raya, that was the machlokes, the ksais and the sibas we were talking about just the other day, yesterday, 2 days ago. Hefker bezna hefker is a din derais. Is that only a din derais? Bezna has the ability to be mafke my property, to declare it as on a list. What if they declare it belongs to someone else? That also works min atorah, or that second step, maybe that only works min derabbanan. So that was a major machlekes harishayim and a major machlekes achrayim. And bottom line, machlekes the ktsais and the nesivis. So the ktsais brings a raya that he's right. From this Mishnah, the cotton doesn't have the ability to be makne min atorah, it's only min derabbanan. Kotchi gilo in esaputus. Mikra mekach mam karamem can be metaltalim, is only min derabbanan. And nonetheless, he can be makrib the karbanas. When he gives the machza shekel money, he can be makrib the karbanas. So it's a right that it works minatur. So the receiver says it's not correct that hefke bezna hefke to be makta lacherm only works with the rabbanan. It's a different reason why. Because when the kid puts it, the bezna will declare that the money is hefke. The ability to make it hefke works minatur. Once the hefke dika money is put into the pushkin, the Beis HaMikdash, so the pushkin is kind of with the kinyan chotzer for hegdash. He puts it into the taklin charetin, and the box that says shkolim chadashim, taklin charetin, so the hegdash is kind of with the kinyan chotzer. That's what the nesiva says. So they're both a pella. The ktsais hachoshin is a pella, and the nesiva is a pella. Machtas shekel money doesn't accept donations. Machtas shekel, either you give b'toris machtas shekel. So according to the ktsais, when the kid gives, it's not b'toris machta shekel, it's b'toris hefke bezna hefke. Hefke bezna hefke means that someone donated, someone threw in some extra money. Hoshel oyarbe. You can't purchase karbanas tiba from someone else's money. That's like the millionaire wants to donate $5 million, then they're going to purchase all the karbanas tiba. We don't allow that in machta shekel. Only money given b'toris machta shekel. So how can you say hefke bezna hefke solves the problem? How can you say chotzu is kind of a secular kinyan? That's not b'toris machta shekel. The ksais and the sivs, they both don't make any sense at all. So the pashtas could be the teretzes. That maybe the kotn shoshokal means kot means before the age of 20. Maybe he already is 13, but he's not 20. If you follow that opinion, that a kotn up until the age of 20 is not obligated to give machza shekel. Or, inam yesh loimar, the kotn taka before the age of bar mitzvah. If you should assume that from bar mitzvah on, everyone is obligated to give machza shekel. But there is a din of mufla hasomach liyish. The year before bar mitzvah, the year before bas mitzvah, a child has the ability to be magdish something, to take a neder, and that's a machlekes in the Gemara, and a machlekes the Rambam and the Rabbi, had a paskin whether that din of mufla samach liyish is a din deraisa or a din derabban. So if one should assume that it's a din deraisa, then the Mishnah is fine, that the kotn shoshokal, the kid, not 2 years before bar mitzvah, won't be mufla samach liyish. Only within the 12 months, the year before bar mitzvah, so he has the ability to be magdish min haTorah, if you assume that mufla samach lish is a din deraisa. He has the ability to be magdish min haTorah, and that hegdish will be chal. Yeah, what if you hold that mufla samach lish is only the rabbanon? So then what do you do with the Mishnah? So you have to say the cotton shishokal doesn't mean the cotton is giving on his own. The father gave on behalf of the cotton. Father gave on behalf of the cotton. Yeah, but the answer that the ktsais and the nesivis get, both are pella. We don't understand what the ktsais said, we don't understand the nesivis. If hegdish is coded by the kinyan chotzer, that's like a private donation. That's not b'toris machza shekel. And if hegdish is coded by b'toris hefke bezna hefke, it's also a private donation. Machza shekel fund not allowed to accept any private donation. That's in violation of the din ha'osho lo yarbe. They can only purchase karbanat sibur with the money given hugdash b'toris machza shekel. The Mishnah talks about shokal or shikla. One person can give a machza shekel on behalf of someone else. So the Mishnah Melech has a suffix. Yeah, Mishnah is in the end of Ksubis. If I owe Reuven owes Shimon money, and Levi is a good Samaritan, and he goes to Shimon and he pays him the debt. So he pays him the money, so Shimon should no longer bother Reuven. Okay? So since he accepted the debt, he agreed. So he has no right to ask Reuven for the money. So the Mishnah Melech is not sure what's the nature of that din. Whether the pshat is the chov is parua, or no. He agreed to be moichel b'det. Shimon agreed to be moichel Reuven because Levi gave him $100. Is it possible to be parei chov v'shal chaver? Maybe the only one who can be parei the chov is the Balach Eftach, the Leif himself, maybe others who pay, he can't be Parechav. So Rabbi Chana Vassman quotes this right from his Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Shkop. But the fact that the Mishnah says it's such a thing as Shokol or Shiklo, someone else could give Machzah Shekel on my behalf, so that's a right that HaParechav Shal Chaveru, the Chav is Parua. If the pshat is that the malva is moichel the debt to the loiva because the third party, the Good Samaritan, gave him $100, so who's moichel over here? What do you mean? The gizba shel hekdesh has a right to be moichel me, machzah shekel money, because someone gave a donation. You don't accept donations in machzah shekel. You only accept machzah shekel. So Rabbi Shimon Shkop said, arrive in this Mishnah from shokel or shikel, or someone else can give him my behalf. See a parechav shel chaveru is paru. One can dig himself with the raya. It's not a hechrich that parechav shel chaveru is paru. It's magdish al menashe is kapa bo chaveru. That the Gemara in Nozer learned that from Sukkim, that such a thing exists. If a person has an obligation to be magdish a korban, so the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, that a good Samaritan can step up and he can be magdish a korban al menashe is kapa bo chaveru. See here, each individual Jew is obligated to be magdish, not to be parechav, to be magdish a machzah shekel for this year's collection of machzah shekel money. So if someone else gives on my behalf, shokol or shiklo, is magdish al menashe is kapa b'chaver, still doesn't prove that parechav shel chaveroi is parua. There's a discussion in Hilchas Pidyon Aben. There's a discussion. You have a child who's a yosim, so who does the Pidyon Aben? The mother's not mechuyev to do the Pidyon Aben. Or let's say a child, his father is not Jewish. Mother's Jewish, his father's not Jewish. So the kid is Jewish, he needs Pidyon Aben. So who's going to do the Pidyon Aben? Father Al-Pidin is not related to the child. Even if the non-Jewish father wants to volunteer, Al-Pidin is not called the father. So can someone else step up and do Pidyon Aben? So the Ramah quotes a Rivosh that no one else can do Pidyon Aben. Either the father does it or the child does it after Bar Mitzvah. And if there's no father and the child is not yet Bar Mitzvah, he's just born, so you wait to do Pidyon Aben until he grows up. And the Shach asks, it doesn't make any sense. The Shach quotes the Sefer Seyd al HaDerech. The Be'er Sheva wrote a running commentary, a Pirish Rashi al HaTorah, that's called Seyd al HaDerech. So usually it's like this Sifsei Chachamim. And once every 10, 15 pages, he has a Chiddush LaHalacha. So the Shach quotes from the Seyd al HaDerech. And the Vilna Gaon writes, Ayin Shach, he doesn't agree with the Ramah. The Shach disagrees. Shach says someone else can pay. So the Shach says, what do you mean? You never heard of Parei Chov Shal Chaveiro? That the Chov is Peru. So the Shach is assuming a Dovah Pashut. A Parei Chov Shal Chaveiro, the Chov is Peru. Mishlam Melech wasn't sure whether the Chov is Perua or the Malva was Moichum to the Lova because the Good Samaritan gave him this Matana. Mishlam Melech is not so sure. And then the Shach assumes two premises. Premise number one, which is debated, whether Parei Chov Shal Chaveiro is Peru. Premise number two, Pidyon Aben is a chov? Pidyon Aben is a chov or it's a mitzvah nesina? Is it really a piron a chov? It's very questionable whether it's a piron a chov. The Gemara says you can yotze Pidyon Aben if you give him matana menas lahachzir. The Gemara says it's not nice. It's not proper. You're not allowed to do that. But the Gemara says, but if a person gave the koyin 5 shkolim, matana menas lahachzir is yotze. If I borrowed $1,000 from the bank and I pay back $1,000, matana menas lahachzir. So I'm yotze the piron achov. The nesivah says, but you don't need the nesivah. Common sense dictates, like the nesivah, you can't be yotze piron achov if you give matana manas lachzer. So from the fact that the Gemara says that pidyon aben, but if you did it matana manas lachzer, it's a rai shein ala tshuva. It's befeirush a rai that pidyon aben is not piron achov. I mean, chaschinach assumes all the time pidyon aben is achov and it's piron achov. It has a lot of dinim based on that. It's very difficult. The Pashtus is from many Gemaras that Pidyon Aben is not a chov at all. It's a mitzvah nesina. It says in Shulchan Aruch that a father is mechuyev to teach his son. And the father is mechuyev to spend money to hire a malamed, to send him to school, to pay tuition. And if the father doesn't want to pay the money, bezin yardim lenachosov. So the Vilna Gaon says, how do you know that there's shibud nachosim to pay for educating your child? He says, because by pidyon aben the Gemara says that shibud. So the Vilna Gaon assumes that shibud nachosim is on any mitzvah. Any and every mitzvah there's a shibud nachosim. It's not because pidyon aben is a chov. Even Talmud Torah. Let's say the father has an obligation to imal his son. And the father doesn't know how to do it, so he has to pay a moil to do it. He doesn't want to pay the moil. So the same thing in Shulchan Aruch. You yordim lenechasov, And the marker is that Gemara in Kiddushim, that the Shiva and the Chosim, and figure out then.
But back on Rebbe's earlier point about being Kodem Lesser Shady, Bizman Azeh, in Yerushalayim, if it's become Tame or whatever, I think the Gemara Mako says on Daf Yutet or Daf Yutet that if you, then the Chitza Liklod is only Jerem Ban. So if it's Malchitza Lechol is Del Reis. So even if you want to say that the era is still Kodesh, and we're assuming that the Chitza Lechol is Daraisa, why can't you just bring it outside of Yerushalayim and put it there?
Neither Rabbanan, you're not allowed to. It can't be put in Yerushalayim, that's a din deraisa. Once you brought it into Yerushalayim, even if you take, you're not allowed to take it out. That's one isa the Rabbanan. Even if you took it out, we don't allow you to be put in. These two dinam are only the Rabbanan. Chitza Liklod is the Rabbanan. But Kozman is in Yerushalayim. He can't be put in Minatara, just not Chal. If you would take it out, then Minatara, the opinion would be Chal. And there are Bonin, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take it out. And if you did take it out, you're not allowed to be put in.
Maybe one could say that it'd be better to take it out and be put in than just let it rot. Because at least this way, the money is still going to Tzedakah.
Ah. Well, where's the money going to Tzedakah? Money's not going anywhere.
You're throwing the money to Yom Ha'al.
Yeah. It's going to rot anyway. The money is going to rot anyway.
I'm assuming that the opinion of Ben is a Hasina. Maybe he was quoting yesterday about the Rambam says that the opinion of Ben is a Subak. If it's not the Bas Achas, they'd be given in two different things. Wouldn't that be more leaning to the fact that it's a Chol? I suppose in Hasina you should give it all at once. If it's a Chol, you can split it up. Maybe.
That's the Chiddush. How did the Rambam know that? The Rambam writes, if you give Pinyon Aben $1 today, $1 tomorrow, $1 next week, $1 next year, if it all adds up to five slimes, then you're Yotze. So the Mefarshim on the Rambam wonder, where did he get that from? How does he know that that's so? If it would just be Pinyon Achov, it makes a lot of sense. But it's a mitzvah and sinus, so how did he know that it's so? So that's still a question. How did the Rambam know? The Rambam doesn't write original dinim. When he writes original, he writes Yeroyli. He doesn't write Yeroyli. He must be quoting from some earlier source. Every so often he does write Yeroyli. Fewer than 100 times he writes Yeroyli. So he must have had some source for this. Yeah. What do you have in Parshas Kisis after the Machtza Shekel institution? You have to have Kiyar Nechoshes, Temi Mekadesh, the Meha Kiyar, and you have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And if a Kohen does Hakrovus HaKarbonis without first doing Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, it's Misa B'dei Shamayim. V'lo Yamusu, Misa B'dei Shamayim. Kiddush Adayim Raglayim enables the Kohen to do Hakrovus HaKarbonis. The Gemara says when you wake up in the morning, you have to wash until it's Yadayim. So there are three different opinions that are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. What is Entilas Yadayim all about? So one of the opinions is the Rambam's opinion that based on Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, we have such a din for Tefillah. You have to do an Entilas Yadayim for Tefillah with a bracha. You have to wash from a cup with a bracha for Shachris and for Mincha and for Maariv. We don't follow the Rambam. We don't say a bracha when you wash. More correct, you're supposed to wash your hands before you daven Shmoneh Esrei Mincha and before you daven Maariv. But you shouldn't say a bracha. You shouldn't say a bracha. I remember we used to, Rav Soloveitcher used to give the shiur on the third floor in first hall, and right after the shiur we used to daven mincha. So he would always run to the bathroom in the middle of the floor just to wash his hands. He would run back, didn't want to wait to hold the students up. None of the students washed their hands. But Rav Soloveitcher always ran to wash his hands. He would run back to daven Davin Mincha with us. I remember every Tuesday night he used to give a shiur for Balabatim. So at the end of the shiur, the Balabatim were in a rush to Davin Meir, so they would say Baruch right away. Urachim Baruch right away. So Rav Soloveitcher used to Davin along with him, and he didn't say Baruch Hashem Leolam. So when they were saying Baruch Hashem Leolam, he would run to the back of the shul, wash his hands, and then he would run back to his seat. He sat in front of the minyan. See, he thought they only have to wash your hands for the Shemana Esrei, for the Tefillah. Used to be makbid, that's what it said. You should be makbid to wash your hands before mincha, before ma'ariv. Based on the Ramam Shita, that based on Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, we should wash our hands before we daven the mincha ma'ariv as well. The Ramam writes that l'chatchila, more preferable is you should wash Kiddush Adayim Raglayim from the kiyor. And b'diyeved, if you have any other klisharis in which you are makadish the water, so you're also Yotze B'diyeved, the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So the Ramban al Torah quotes this Rambam, and he's masig on him. How can it be that the Rambam says, L'chatchila, the proper practice should be to wash until it's Yadayim, Dafka from the Kiyor, and it's only B'diyeved if you wash from a different Klisharis that it'll be acceptable? Every year the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did it l'chatchila. It says they would have a special container, and he would wash not from the kiyur, to make it easier for the Kohen Gadol. If it's l'chatchila to wash from the kiyur, so why did they violate the l'chatchila on Yom Kippur? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if you look in the Rambam, the Ramban misquoted the Rambam a little bit. The Rambam never said l'chatchila she wash from the kiyur. The Rambam said l'chatchila she wash from mayim she neskachu b'kiyur. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, they used to wash with a different klisharis, but they took the water from the kiyur. That says beferish in the Mishnah. They took mei hakiyur, she neskachu b'kiyur. So that's all the Rambam said l'chatchila. More correct is the mayim should be neskadish b'kiyur. Then you can pour the water from any other klisharis that you would choose to do. Then you have the next parsha in the Chumash is about Shemen HaMishcha. And the Psukim say, Kol HaKem Shosem Oishem Mishichosem Mikachosem. The way to be Mikadesh, Shulchan, the Kelev, the Menoira, Kelea, Mizbach Akhtaris, Mizbach Oila, Kiyor, Kano, everything. Kol HaKem Shosem Oishem Mishichosem Mikachosem. Mishicha B'Shemen HaMishcha was Mikadesh. The Kaviyelech, after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's no longer Mishichosem Mikachosem, it's Avedosem Mechanchosem. How can you have Avedosem Mechanchosem? You have a new klisharis. So it doesn't have kedushas, doesn't have a full din klisharis yet. If you do an avoda with it, that'll be mekadoshit. But the avoda will be pasul. Doesn't mean you do the avoda. It's a kli chol. It doesn't have the kedushas klisharis yet. So how can you say avodasam mechan chosam? So the answer is you say boin keyachod. We don't know what that means. Boin keyachod. Okay. The Gemara says, how can you be meshachar nevek nani? Kol mashikon nevek kona rabbi. Give ish tashichur. To the Abaknaini, the Abaknaini belongs to you. So Komashi Kana the Kana Rabba, it doesn't get off the ground. So the Gemara says, Boin Keyachot, that's the halacha. That's what it says in the Chumash. Here also, Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole list of cases where you say Boin Keyachot. So this is one of them. Kol HaKelem Mikan V'Yelech, after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, is Avedosa Mechan Chosam. It's not no longer Mishichosa Mechat Chosam, it's Avedosa Mechan Chosam, and it's Boin Keyachot. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes a medrash that is not exactly so. He quotes a medrash. Let's say you want to be mekadosh a klisharis, so you use the klisharis to do an avodah. You do kmitza in the klisharis. So he quotes a medrash that says a wild chiddush. Avidosa mechanchosam will only work if you have a keli from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that had a kedusha adei meshicha. And then you put the mincha in that klisharis, and that klisharis will be mekadosh the mincha. Then you take the mincha that was neskadosh in the keli of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you put it into a klichol, and you're going to do kmitza from the klichol. So the mincha already was neskadosh because I put it into the klisharis of Moshe Rabbeinu, which had meshicha. So this mincha, which already has kedusha, so there's something here already. It's not yesh meyayin. So then you say boin keachad avidos mechan chosam. And everything is going to be a hemshach from the original kelim that was mishichosam mekachosam. All the kelim of the doris that is going to be avodosam mechan chosam, you always have to start off, has to have a link, has to be a hemshach of some kli that had mishicha b'shemen and mishchas hakodesh in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a big chiddush. And the Gemara never says that. He quotes a medrash that has like that. The kam yelach avodosam mechan chosam has to be linked up to some keli from the days. If you make a Beis HaMikdash now and just make kelim and you just do Avedos and Mechan Chosam, just not going to work. So how are you going to get off the ground? You no longer have any kelim. Maybe we'll discover hidden somewhere, Klei HaMikdash somewhere. But the problem, according to Rabbi Yosef Engel, quotes from this Medrash. Not permitted, there's an Issa Koris over here, not permitted to Shmir Al-Zar. If you take Shem in Mishchas Kodesh, Al-Basar Adam La-Yisach, Ashi'itim Menu Al-Zar, Menichas Me'am. If the Gemara increases, has a whole Machleikah Satanoim, what's the definition of a Zar? A Zar means he never has a Shaychas. Let's say he's a Melech from the Malchit Beis David, and he needs Mishicha B'Shem in Mishchas Kodesh, and they did it. And then a week after, he likes it so much, he wants to do again, Mashiach B'Shem and HaKosh. He's not allowed to. If he will use it, he's not a Zar Etzla Meikara. He once had a Shaychas with the Shem and Mishchas Kodesh. Well, let's say he was appointed Kohen Gadol, and we made Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha on him. So he once did use Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. Now he's going to use it today just for fun. will he be chayv koris or not? But is he not, because he's not a zar etzlamei kora. So that's a machloekes satanaim, Rav Meir, Rav Yudah. Whether the word zar means total stranger or no. He's not supposed to be using Shemen HaMishcha today. So today, for the purposes of today's Ishtamshes and Shemen HaMishcha, he's Dina Kizar. So that's a machloekes satanaim. There is a Gemara in Yevamos, but the Gemara talks about the idea Bas ish koin kesili ish zar hi b'chum as hakadoshim lo sechal. So the Gemara there says zar etzlam eikor. So the Rishonim discuss, is it totally in the same achlekes hatanoim? And the first parak increases on davov of over here by the zar etzlam eikor, or not necessarily so. So that's when you learn the Yevamos, we never got to learn Yevamos. When you get to learn Yevamos, the part of Yevamos. So the Shita Mekubetzes and Krisis talks about it. And the Rashba and Yevamos talks about it. We got to learn Yevamos. In the Miri Shiva this year in Yerushalayim, they're learning Yevamos. And one of the boys who learned by Rabbi Rosenzweig last year, one of the best Talmidim in the Yeshiva, he finished all Masechta Yevamos last year, so he went to the Miri Shiva to find out what's really going on in Yevamos now. But he's going to learn Yevamos again. So I saw him last week when I was in Eretz. He was all excited. Learning Yevamos again. There's a lot to learn there. Then we have the next parsha is the parsha of the Keteris. You have to have Yud Alav Samamanim. The Gemara learns out, reads in between the lines over here, Yud Alav Samamanim. And then the Braisa mentions, Im Nosam Bo Dvash Psolo. If you mix in Dvash, because if you mix in Sora Dvash, you're not allowed to be Makar of the Korban. The Minchas Chinuch is not sure. He writes a Sofik. What does it mean, Im Nosam Bo Dvash Psolo? It means if you mixed in Dvash, you're not allowed to be makri, you're not allowed to be makti the Keteris, because sorid vash, lo sekter imenu ishal Hashem. Does it really mean psola? What if b'dieved you were makti the Keteris with the dvash? Maybe you violated the avera sorid vash, but the Keteris is still kosher. Maybe psola just means you're not allowed to use it, or maybe psola means it's even possible b'dieved. So the Minchas Chinuch writes, he's not sure. He's not sure what that brisa means. And doesn't want dvash psola. They quote from Avelva, the Soloveitchik, that he said, this suffix of the Minchas Chinuch is 2 days beferish in the Rambam. The Rambam understood the Gemara in Amechas Paris, middle of Baba Basra. The Gemara has a din that Yayin, that's not royal in Asach Agabi HaMizbeach, is possible for Kiddush. So the Gemara says, what does it refer to? What if I squeeze out grapes? The Yayin is not royal in Asach Agabi HaMizbeach. You have to let it sit and ferment. Bakodesh Hasach Nesach Shechar has to have alcohol content to it. Just grape juice, you're not supposed to use it for Nisach Hagavi HaMizbech. And yet the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Sechet Od Meshkel Shalanovim, squeeze out a cluster of grapes on Erev Shabbos. Sometimes businessmen get stuck someplace for Shabbos, and they don't have any kosher wine to make Kiddush over. So what are they going to do? So Rabbi Schwab used to say, what's the problem? Go to the store, buy some grapes, squeeze out the grapes, and make your own wine. The Gemara says, Sechad Ram Nashil Shalanovim, Ram Olav Kiddush Ayam. You shouldn't squeeze it on Shabbos, you squeeze it on Erev Shabbos, then you can say Kiddush. So the Gemara says, you can't say whatever Yain is possible and Nasach Agav Yizbech is possible for Kiddush. It's just not true. Grape juice is kosher for Kiddush, and it's possible and Nasach Agav Yizbech. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about Yain Shehelok Mochim. If the yayin sat so long that it got spoiled, then you have particles floating on top, and it doesn't taste good. Rechara, it doesn't smell good, it doesn't taste good. So you're not allowed to use it for nesachim. You're not allowed to use it for kiddush either. So the Taisus says that's all din. That's all that it is. The Rambam quotes the Goyim that it's not so. That the din even applies to yayin mevushel, since yayin mevushel, wine that was cooked, is pasul lanasach agabi hamizbeach. So you're not allowed to use it for kiddush. Most of our wines are mevushel. Even the wine that says ain't a mevushel, so Rav Moshe Feinstein says all the wines that are pasteurized by definition are mevushel. The one who gives the tzeh l'merov, who gives the hashgacha on the wines, now it's the tzeh l'merov stepson gives the hashgacha on the wines. So his father, his stepfather was the big tam chacham. So he held that it's only called yai mevushel, that the maga akum doesn't aser if it's mevushel till 2:12 and it started to evaporate. So Rav Moshe said it's against the din. He says that the gemara, the arzuron, had a suffix whether Poishrim, if you cooked it till it was lukewarm, maybe have sheres that would be shuloy. So the Yozeru had a suffix. So he said, you should be machmer. It's only called Yayim Avushal, then Magakim does Nasser if it's Yatzaleres. But once it's Yatzaleres, who says it has to be 212? Who says it has to evaporate? The Mashmois in the Shachas like that has to evaporate. So Moshe said the Mashmois is wrong. You shouldn't misread the Shach. You look in the Rishonim, Rishonim say Mefurish that once it reaches Yatzaleres. So Moshe holds that all the wines that are pasteurized are all Yayim Avushal. So the Shulchan Aruch says that Yayim Avushal is good for Kiddush. Against the Rambam. The Rambam in the Garden Hall, the Yayim Avushal is no good for Kiddush because Pasal and Nasa Chagav Yem is
bad. So according to Rambam, then there would be basically no problem today of starting
eating. That's right. And all the wine. Well, if the wine is manufactured by non-Jews, then it's no good.
Yeah.
But it's manufactured by Jews and it's pasteurized, so all the wine is Mavushal. So there's no problem of Maga Akum. The conservatives many years ago said like that, you can all use Gwelch's grape juice because Yayim Avushal there's no din of Magakum. Yayim Avushal means if it's manufactured by a Jew, it's Mavushal, then a Goy touches it. But if the Goy manufactures it, so that's Tam Yenim. That for sure is awesome. That's not the Muta because of Yayim Avushal. So the Rambam quotes a Machloikis himself in the Goyim, and what's the din on the assumption that Yayim Avushal is not kosher l'nasa chagam mizbech, and therefore it's no good for Kiddush. What would you say if you have sugar added? All of our wines, most of our wines have heavy sugar added. If you have sugar added, so that's Sora Dvash. So do you say Nosam Adash Psala means the whole carbon is Psala? A carbon sheesh Psala Dvash, the whole carbon is Psala? So it's no good for Kiddush. Or do you say, no, Psala doesn't mean literally the carbon is Psala. There is no such halacha. You're not allowed to be makter, you're not allowed to be makrib the carbon because you'll be makrib Sora Dvash. But if you were makrib it, you did the aver and you did the mitzvah at the same time. So the Rambam himself happens to hold that a carbon sheyesh basara dvash is a pasul a carbon. That's what the Rambam Mishitasa holds. That's what he writes in Suli HaMikdoshim. So the Rambam Mishitasa writes that wine that you mixed in sugar, has sugar added, the whole wine is pasul because the carbon sheyesh basara dvash, the whole thing is pasul. Anyway, but we make a lan yayim avushal, so the whole issue is irrelevant by us. The whole story with the kiddush. Mr. Herzog, the Balabas from Kerem Wine, had a Chiddush, and it may well be that he's right. He adds sugar to the wine. So according to the Rambam, it's no good. Well, according to the Rambam, it's no good anyway, because all Mavushal, no, but he goes with his Tzela Barov. So he holds that it's Eina Mavushal, is Eina Mavushal, even though it's pasteurized. So they hold it's only called Yai Mavushal if it reaches 212. So the Shana's buddy has sugar added, so he says he doesn't add other sugar. He takes grape juice, and he takes sugar from grape juice, and he adds that sugar to this wine. So he has a chiddush, if he mixed different wines together, and it became sweeter because I mixed in a sweet wine. So that's called Irabas Sora Dvash. That's not called Irabas Sora Dvash. That doesn't pass. So if I take sugar that originated from wine, from grape juice, so he had a chiddush, that's not called Sora Dvash. Could be, right? Sounds good.
How is sugar Sora Dvash? How is sugar
sorted? Dvash, Rashi says on Chumash, is pre or mesikas pre. Rashi says on Chumash, called pre, mesikas pre is included in Dvash.
Sure.
So sugar is mesikas pre.
Manufactured sugar?
Also.
Chemicals?
Oh, from chemicals? I don't know if that would be called Dvash. I don't think so. Only pre and mesikas pre. Probably wouldn't be Dvash. Chumash says that the Shemin Mishchas Kodesh should be Mekadosh all of the Kelim, Kol HaKelim Shasam Moshe, Mishichas Mekad Shasam, V'hoyu Kodesh Kadoshim, V'kidash Da Oysam, V'hoyu Kodesh Kadoshim, then it says, Kol HaGeh Bahem Yigdosh. What does that mean? After being Mekadosh the Klishareis, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol HaKelim Shasam Moshe, Mishichas Mekad Shasam, then Kol HaGeh Bahem Yigdosh. So Radal Vela Soloveitchik points out that this Pasuk is the source of the Din, that appears in Mishnah so many different times, that there's an institution of Kiddush Keli. When you magdish a behem of the oaf, I say on the Torah Ben Yoin, I say this should be a carbon oil, this should be a chatos, this should be a carbon pesach, this should be a shlomim, whatever. So it gets a kedusha guf lamizbeach. But hamnachas vansachim, even though I say the kedushas peh, only gets a kedushas damim lamizbeach. It doesn't become mekudish bekedushas aguf lamizbeach until you put it into a klisharis. That's Mishnah is like that. Hamanochas van Sachim, Mishikitcha Bikli. So where did that come from, Mishikitcha Bikli? The Bible says this is the Pasuk. It's a Rashi in Sukkah, it says like that also. Rashi towards the end of Sukkah quotes this pasuk. He said that he's in disagreement with the Rashash and with others who suggested other cheshbonos. Why said you don't need cheshbonos? He says Agzeres Hakosuf. Then you have the story of the Chet HaEgel. Yeah. Okay. According to the Ramban, it could be a Kriya Deraisa. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini Noas Kvei Decho. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Lo Yirani Ha'odam Achai, Risa Sachar Haifonei Lo Yirom. What does that mean? So we don't understand it. So the Gemara says in one place, if a person is wearing tefillin, the Baruch Shalom wears tefillin. So if you see the back of the Baruch Shalom, you see the Kesher Shel Rosh. Kesher Shel Tefillin Harol HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. You say it in Anim Zmiris. Kesher Shel Tefillin Harol HaLamoshe. The Biskarov has a piece in his Sefer on Hilchas Tefillin where he explains why was it necessary for the Baruch Shalom to show as a whole Lomdash explanation. Why didn't he just say a Kesher Shel Tefillin? Why do you have to show him what it looks like? So he has a whole Shtikul Torah, and why the Rambam says it should be a Kesher Betzuras Dalet. He said it's not a Dalet. It's a Kesher Betzuras Dalet. It has to look like it. That's why the Rebbe Shlom didn't tell him, make a Dalet. He said, I'm going to show you what it should look like. It's a Kesher Betzuras Dalet, and therefore Yifar Emphas is a certain Kash. One of the Gedolim in Europe suggested an interpretation in the Pasuk. The question is, how does it fit in? When Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Hodieni knows the Rachecho, this is not the right psukim over here, but this is what he said. Hodieni knows the Rachecho ve'edo acho. So the Gemara says in Brochus and Davov, what was Moshe Rabbeinu asking? He doesn't understand how come we have in this world Tzadik Viralo Rosh Hashanah. He says it told the Sar in Brochus Davov. Moshe Rabbeinu is asking all the prophets and all the philosophers from all the generations, all are bothered with the question, if there's only one God in the world and God is kind and God is good and God knows everything that's happening, is in full control of everything, so how can you have Tzadik V'Ra'lo Rosh V'Tova? How does he allow such tragedies to occur in the world? So it's a murderous kasha, we don't know the Teretz. So the Avdi Avodah Zarah came up with the Teretz that there are two gods, a God of good and God of evil. Or God does know what's going on, God doesn't care, he's a mean God. We don't accept any of the terutzim. He said, there's one God, he knows everything that's happening. He's full control. And he's a good God and a kind God. So how can it be? So the Gemara says, Haviva alai kapara al shemiyatati yas ayireach. Miuta yareach is a technical term in the Gemara that refers to this tragedy of Tzadik V'Ra'lo Rosh V'Tov. Because the moon goes around crying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished me for no good reason. I used to be Shnei Amoros HaGdolim, and then God punished me and made me Amor HaKotam HaTzadik V'Ra'lo. I'm suffering. The answer is, the Yireach did something bad, whatever that Agada means. The Yireach came and he complained to the Baruch Shalom, how can you have Shnei Melochim B'Shtam Shemekeh? But the world doesn't know the whole background. So the Yireach is crying that God mistreated me. So the Baruch Shalom says, I have to clap al chet, hovi olai kapar. Every Rosh Chodesh is being a soil Lashem. As if the Ribbono Shel Olam needs a kapara for this issue of Tzadik V'Ra'lo Rosh HaBetov. So the one of the Gedolim in Europe interpreted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hodieni knows the Rachecho, explain to me Tzadik V'Ra'lo Rosh HaBetov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'Risa Sachayrai, Afana Lo Yiro. If you'll wait to look, if the role of history will be unfolded, you look back in retrospect, you'll realize that it never happened, there never was Tzadik V'Ra'lo Rosh HaBetov. But we don't have a full perspective on the whole history of the world. We see how long does a person live. He lives 100 years. So you see 100 years a chunk of history. So it looks like there are problems of Tzadik V'Ra'lo Rosh HaTovo. When you look in advance, the Ribbono Shel Olam can't explain to us how there's no problem of evil. But if you look in retrospect, then we'll be able to understand that we're supposed to have Amunah. We don't have that perception. The perception is that there is a problem of evil. There is Tzadik V'Ra'lo Rosh HaBetov. We're supposed to have Emunah that Kol Ma'adav Rachmano L'Tavav, but everything is L'Tavo. The Mishnah says when a tragedy occurs, you have to say a bracha, Baruch Dayin Amos. The Mishnah says, Kishem Shem Mevorcham Al HaTavo, Kach Mevorcham Al HaRok. Kishem sounds like it's the same bracha. It's not the same bracha. When a wonderful thing happens, you say HaTavo HaMeitim. When a tragedy occurs, you say Dayin Amos. So how does the Gemara say Kishem? So the Gemara says in Brachas, Kishen means, you say it different, because the perception is that it's a tragedy. Here the perception is that it's something wonderful. But you should say the Bracha b'simcha. You should say the Bracha with Amuna, that kol mado abe rachmano letabo. That's very difficult. The whole world collapsed. So everybody's killed by the Nazis, and he's supposed to say Baruch Dayan Emes b'simcha. Very difficult. They tell Netnuos Amusar said, he tells the story about one of the big rabbanim, the Rosh Yeshiva from Slobodka. The whole yeshiva moved to Hefti Yeshiva, moved to Hebron. So the Rosh Yeshiva's son was a very promising Talmid Chacham, and he died at a very young age. And he was very upset about it. So he, when he came to the funeral, one of the big Bali Musa, he came to the funeral and came an hour late to his own son's funeral. So the people couldn't understand that he was so makbid on not to come late. And now he comes an hour late. Everybody had to wait for him. So in the middle of the Shiva, towards the end of the Shiva, somebody had the courage to ask him. So he said he had to say the Bracha Baruch Dayinu Emes B'Simcha, and he just couldn't say B'Simcha. So it took him an hour to review in his mind the Ikar and Amunah, the Kol Ma David Rachmana L'Tavah, but to be able to recite the Bracha truly B'Simcha. The Bracha you say is Dayinu Emes, because the perception is that it's a tragedy. But the Gemara says he's supposed to try to have enough Koichas HaNefesh to say the Bracha B'Simcha with Amunah, that it is L'Tavah. Then you have the end of the parsha. You have the Karnei Hoid. Moshe Rabbeinu had Karnei Hoid. When Moshe Rabbeinu is saying the dinim, when he's saying over the dinim in the name of Rabbi Shlomo, it didn't disturb anybody. When he finished saying the dinim, then the people couldn't take it. They were blinded with the Karnei Hoid. So this is also one of the rayas. Moshe Rabbeinu was a stutterer. He was a kvad peh, kvad loshem. When he said the alochas, he had a booming voice. It wasn't his normal, natural voice. And he wasn't stuttering. And then when he spoke about the weather and the politics and the football game, then he would stutter again. So the people said, this was one of the many hochachas that our ancestors had after Maimon HaSinai, that Moshe Rabbeinu is Torah Min HaShemayim. The man wasn't making it up on his own. Because when they spoke to him about everything else, he had to wear a masva, had to wear a mask on his face. And only when he said the dinim, then it didn't bother the Bnei Yisrael. Very strange. Masva. Okay. Very good. I'm giving a shiur at 1 o'clock to 2:30, whoever's interested, on Tzedakah and Maisek Sofim. I don't know, where's that shiur supposed to take place?
417.
Right. 417.
Right below this.
Okay.